Supposed to give you a high five? There we go. That's what you told me to do. So, awesome. I want to thank you guys again for coming out early on a Wednesday morning. I know that last night was the attendee party, and so I know it's even harder to drag out of bed early. I talked to a few people that are like Central Time and East Coast, and maybe it's a little bit easier for them, but I do appreciate you guys, and I hope you guys get a lot out of this. I think, to me, this is, you know, in terms of like technology and social, it's kind of like the fun, like candy stuff of technology. So we're going to do some kind of interesting things, and I think I have some cool things for you to take away out of this. So my name is Richard Azariga. I'm an architect based out of the Microsoft Technology Center in Dallas. Anyone familiar with the MTC organization? Been to an MTC? Awesome. So I work out of the MTC in Dallas. I also work really closely with product engineering and product marketing around the things we do around apps and the things we do around social. I'll be quite honest with you. I know this is like an IT pro session. I'm a developer at heart, and I love doing development on top of our social platform. I'm not going to show you code today. I promise you that. There will be no code, although we are going to go into one of the components of today is looking at some apps that are already out there that you can start getting more information and more value out of your social platform in Yammer. So we are going to go into that. Let me really quickly go over what we have in terms of the session objectives. So one of the things I want to do is we're going to walk through Yammer gives us the ability to export some data. So we're going to take a look at that export. We're going to dissect it and see what's there and what's missing. And then for what's missing, we're going to look at how we can actually maybe augment that. So what sort of things could we do to pull out more information so that we can do some even more interesting insights out of that? We're going to look at ways to model that data then, pull it into a model that we can use some of the standard Microsoft tools on. So, you know, being able to do things like all the great Power BI visuals on top of that that are more, again, just kind of a commodity type thing that you can apply to that data and be able to get some interesting things out of it. I am going to go into some custom mining trends and some real-time social insights. I think, you know, this is one of my aha moments around social was actually our last presidential election. When you watch the debates on television, you had, you know, most of the major networks would have this little sentiment counter at the bottom where as a candidate was actually speaking in real time, you would see how an audience was reacting to that. And so we're actually going to play our version of that with Yammer. So I'm going to ask for some interaction, and I have some prizes for those that actually do participate. I want to be very clear that I am a geek. I told you I'm a developer. This is, I want to show you how you can take raw data from Yammer and turn that into something that you can start getting insights out of. I am not the guy at all to talk to you about like the strategy of that. There are much better people. In fact, I put here on the bottom, tomorrow morning at 10:30, there's a session that's SPC 392. It's measuring business value with Yammer. And that's a really great session. It's Chris Gideon and Danielle Decatur. If that's more what you're looking for, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my back for like 2 minutes, and you can walk out the door, and I won't have my feelings hurt. I'd rather you do that than stay and be disappointed and give me bad scores. So I don't see anyone leaving. Okay. Feel free, if this is not your thing, feel free to leave. So we're going to look at how we can actually take raw data and turn it into something valuable. So again, I'm not the strategy guy, but I did feel like it was maybe fitting to talk about why are we doing anything around social mining. One of the things I think that's interesting is I'll air some dirty laundry about Microsoft. Microsoft has more distribution lists than we have people in the company. That's sad, right? And that's how traditionally we collaborated on a lot of things. It was kind of like our knowledge management repository. You'd have people that would create these rules that would say, okay, I want to move this distribution list into this folder, and they could go back over time and search it. Well, what happens when a new employee comes around and they want to find the same knowledge that might exist in that distribution list? It's useless, right? They have no way of getting to that. And so as we've shifted to Yammer, we've started to build this amazing repository of knowledge and expertise. And what's great is if I can start mining some insights out of that, we can hopefully make that even more successful, get more people engaged, and get more value out of that platform. There's so many interesting things. I was talking with Chris and Danielle yesterday about different scenarios that they're thinking through that just, like, I didn't even think of. Like, we were talking about the concept of taking, well, it's easy to measure top contributors. I was showing that really easily, how I can get top contributors. Well, how does that maybe relate to someone's, like, maybe performance rating at the end of the year? I mean, really interesting things like that. If you can make a correlation between that, again, it's another thing that, that might help promote the social platform within your organization. I think social mining, it can help recognize and promote those contributions, people that are willing to contribute and you know, become experts on, in that area. And one of the really cool things about mining the data is I think you start to identify invisible trends. I call them invisible because you can't just go out to Yammer and see those type of trends. It's only once we start aggregating it and looking at it in different ways that we can start identifying some of that, including like communities. I'm going to show you a really cool application that that maybe identifies communities that aren't even like a named group. So the way we're going to break this down is the first 30 minutes, we're going to talk about exporting data, massaging that data with things that are missing, and how do we pull that into a model. And so that's going to be really around the modeling side. We're going to be working with data. The middle 15 minutes is now that we have this model, it's just like Disney simple putting that into visuals. It is like incredibly simple with the Microsoft tool set. So the more the effort is in getting it in the model, but I will spend about 15 minutes just showing you some of the Microsoft BI tools that we can use to deliver some insights. The last 30 minutes I'm going to dedicate to some custom mining techniques. And again, I promise you, even though I'm a developer, I'm not going to show you code. What I'm going to do is show you some free applications, and I'm going to show you some free, I'm going to provide some completed solutions that you could go download, give to one of the developers in your organization and say, hey, go run this on our data, or go use this to do real-time ETL out of Yammer. So we'll take a look at that towards the end. So let's start with export and modeling. So I mentioned to you that Yammer does provide the ability for me to export data. So the important thing here is that there's kind of two flavors of a Yammer network. So you can be a free sign-up network, so any company can go out and start using Yammer for free. By doing that, though, you don't end up with what we call network admins that have like a higher level of visibility into the network. And so what we're really talking about here is for users that are on the higher level of Yammer licensing. So if you're an Office 365 customer that has any flavor of SharePoint, you get Yammer as part of that. So hopefully you guys fall into that bucket or are soon to be falling in that bucket, because that's really kind of our direction for social. So as a network admin, I can log into Yammer, and I have a network admin portal that I can go to. Inside there's a place for me to export data. And so ultimately, it's a time-based thing where I can specify a start date, and it'll go and export a lot of data from that point in time forward. So there's no like ranges. I can't go back and grab right now. I couldn't go back and grab just 2013. I would have to grab 2013 through today, and then maybe I just delete the other ones. And I'll show you tools at how you can maybe filter down based on what you want. You do have options here. You can include attachments, and you can even include external networks. So that's another benefit of that higher level licensing in Yammer, is that you can create external networks. So let's say I go out and do this. What do I get? So I'm going to get things like a list of my admins. I'm going to get a list of files, groups. I actually get a full export of messages, which is really interesting, and we'll talk about how we might use that. I'm going to get networks, pages, topics, and users. So that's a great start. All of these are going to be in a CSV format, so it makes it very easy for me to import into various tools, and we're going to do that here shortly. Let me talk about what's missing, though. Mentions are missing. Now, I put that in asterisks because mentions are there, and when I say mentions, that would be like an at mention of a user in a message, or maybe if I put a hashtag in a message, a topic within my message. Those are missing when I do this export. I'll show you how we can, they're there in the message, but it's not broken out as like a separate list for me to really easily report off of. I don't have following. I don't know who follows who or even how many followers or user has. I think those are really important attributes that we can do some really interesting things with. So again, that's going to be something we're going to look at how we can do some things with. Sharing is another one. We were talking through different scenarios yesterday, and I thought that was a really interesting one is you know, there's the concept of how many people follow a user, but how often is their content shared by others? I think that even speaks even more to the value of the things that someone's contributing to. I can tell you right off the bat that like Steve Ballmer and Satya, our two CEOs, they have Yammer accounts, and I've seen them post before, but they have tons of followers, but it's not as, you know, the things that they post are kind of like, hey, it was great to participate in the town hall last week. That's not that valuable of a thing. People aren't going to go and share that. So they are a highly followed person, but they're not necessarily someone that's providing high-value content. So I think that sharing thing's interesting. The other thing is we really don't get detailed date data. We get a date that something was created. But if I wanted to be able to slice and dice that more easily, like I want to look at things by week or by month, we're going to want to break that out a little bit, and we'll talk about how to do that. And then finally, user demographics. I would say for most organizations, I'd be curious for those in the audience, I would say for most organizations, either a SharePoint profile or an HRI, like a HR system, is going to have much more detailed demographics than your Yammer profile. We're still in the early stages of integration, and from that standpoint, I think you know we're soon going to have things like a consolidated user profile between SharePoint and Yammer. But today, you have two different profiles, and the detail of data that I have in my Yammer profile, even at Microsoft, I've found isn't as quality as I could get out of like our HR system. So we have an HR system. Ultimately, it goes back to SAP, I think, but it's called HeadTracks. And I found that to be much more detailed around different user demographics, cost centers, things like that, that I might want to look at users by. And so, you know, you get very basic information about a user. I'll break one open and actually show that to you here in just a moment. So what can we do in terms of augmenting those exports? So here, first, I wanted to talk about mention extraction. So when you get messages from Yammer, the mentions are in there. So here's an example. I'm preparing for my, and then it has this cryptic little thing that has basically the tag ID and the tag name. And then you can see a user mention has a code and then maybe a user alias, their login alias. And so that data is there. You can't put it in line with messages because it's not a one-to-one relationship, right? So what that means is I could mention six people in one message. So it's hard for me to break that out. It's really a one-to-many relationship. And so what we're going to do, and I'm going to provide you guys a free utility that you can go download, is basically you can go give it the messages export file. And what we're going to do is go through every message line. We're going to look for those tags, and we're going to pull that out as a separate CSV file. That way, we can create a real one-to-many relationship with it. Following data, that's another one that we don't have in there. I'm going to talk more later about the different Yammer APIs, but Yammer absolutely has APIs for me to get following information. So this is another case of where I just wrote a quick little utility. I'll give you guys that utility. And what it's going to do, it's going to go out, and for every user, it's going to go pull the following, their following and followers details so that we can work with that. One of the really cool things we might want to do is augment things with like sentiment analysis. I think that's where things get really interesting, is I can go through all the messages and I can maybe do a bit of like a barometer of was this a positive thing that they said in this message or was it a negative thing, and being able to look at that in different ways. So in this case, there's a whole bunch of different services that provide text analytics services. There's one that I use that I pumped like 400,000 messages through over the weekend. And so I'll give you that utility as well. You have to go get your own key to be able to call the API, but ultimately that is available. For date dimension, what we're going to do is we're going to look at using some tools in Excel. There's actually some really great things that are already a part of Excel that can help you put together that type of information. So we're going to look at how we can maybe use an app to pull that information into Excel, and then how we can actually relate it. For demographics, that one is hard because I think every company is going to be unique. I told you we use kind of a proprietary thing that mashes up some SAP information. So it's going to be one of the cases where I think it's hard to do something more generic there. It's going to be pretty much a one-off for most organizations. I would say in most cases, though, you should be able to find some sort of export if you work with your HR organization and be able to get that. All right, so let's go into our first demo where we're going to do an export and we're going to kind of massage some of that data. All right. So I'm here in Yammer. This is my Contoso Petroleum Yammer tenant, and I happen to be a tenant ID. So one of the new things that you're going to see when I'm a tenant ID, and I'll kind of zoom in here, is that I have an option here to do network administration. So you can see it right here in my menu. So what I'm going to do is go out to network administration, and along my side navigation, I'm going to have a link to do a export data. So you can see that right here. Again, there's not a lot of flexibility in what you get here. You get a few different options in terms of providing a date, so that's what we're going to do. We'll go out here and say, let's just grab everything maybe from the beginning of the year. So I'll go out to January 1. I can include external networks if I want to. I'm just going to go with the standard. And this is really quick because it's just a demo environment. It doesn't have the volume that we might have in our Microsoft's real tenant. Go ahead and set this on the desktop, and we'll see what we get. So here's what we get. So this is the same things that I listed. You notice they're all in CSV format. Just to kind of highlight things, I'll open up maybe the user's dimension here. And you can see it's not a lot of detail. I get like name, email, job title. I can get a location, a department, and that's pretty much it. Not a whole lot of detail there. So again, that's why I might want to augment that with something else. There is things like the email, I think, is a pretty critical field in order to, you've got to somehow relate this to whatever demographic data you might want to pull in. That's the field that I found very useful, is being able to use that email field and key off that. All right, so now that we have our exports, I mentioned that there's some things missing. So let's talk about how we might actually augment this. So the first thing that I want to do is let's generate a date dimension. And let me show you how we can do that. One of the great things, hopefully you guys have discovered this, is that our way of extending Excel, right, and we're going to spend a lot of time in Excel, let's be honest, for doing this. One of the great new things about Excel is our app model. And when I was thinking about building a date dimension, I immediately kind of thought of going to code to do that. And I just, out of chance, said, let me go out and look and see what apps there are in the marketplace. So if you go to the Insert tab of Excel, there's an app tab, and you can download all kinds of really cool visuals. If you're a visual person, there are fantastic visuals that you can go grab. They work in the browser as well, so when you upload this to SharePoint. But what I wanted to do is I found a Create Time Dimension app, and it was perfect for me. So I thought I'd plug this here really quickly because it's exactly what I decided to use to create my data source. And you can see what this does is allows me to specify a start date, end date, a few different parameters in terms of, you know, how you want, what you want your week to start on. And once I click go, it goes and generates an entire date dimension for me. So bada bing, done. I think that's a really great quick way of working with that. So the next thing I want to do is I mentioned, that's kind of a pun, I mentioned that mentions aren't in the message. So we're going to work on mentions here. I have all of these little processors that I created out on OneDrive that I'm going to give you the link for at the very end. And because these are standard exports from Yammer, they're all the same from one customer to another. The exports are going to be the same kind of data columns. These should just automatically work. So you should be able to go pull these down and run these on your data. Let me open up the messages here really quickly and show you kind of what those messages look like again. So we go out here to the body column. You can see, I'll kind of zoom in, an example of, there's a tag mention that mentions joined. So that's an example of what that looks like inside the message body. So we're going to extract those out. So let me close this. And it's just a very quick little console application that I'll go in and run. And so I'm going to type in the location of my exports. Exports. and I put it in here. So we have a pretty big export here. This is about 40,000 messages that I have in this. I actually got some exports from Microsoft. So we're going to do exports, demo, and then messages.csv. And I'm doing all of those. And what's interesting is it really exports pretty quick. It processes these pretty quickly. So we'll go ahead and let this run. And we'll go back to our folder. And there, it's already completed. So you can see process is complete. And now if I go look at things like a user mention table, which looks pretty big here, what we'll see, and I'll just open it in Notepad to make it a little quicker, is that I have message ID, mention ID, which is a username, and then their mention alias. So that easily lets me go relate that now to user and to the message. So now I'm starting to immediately start get more value out of that message body. Simple, and again, it's not code. You guys can just go run a little console app and pull that out on your own. So the next thing that I'm going to tackle is doing some things with let's do following next. So I have another console application that does following. Now what this does is it's actually going to go out and call out into the Yammer API. I'm not going to go into the details of what's happening here. I'm not just giving you the executable. I'm going to give you all the code. So you're welcome to have your devs look into it in more detail. But ultimately what this is going to do, and I'm not going to run this on all of the data, so I created kind of a subset here in this demo folder. So I need to find that again, exports, demo. So I created this messages sub. You notice that it's significantly smaller in size because I didn't want to have to sit here and have you guys wait. It takes quite a bit of time to. And the main reason this takes a while is that Yammer throttles their API. You can't just go and make 400,000 calls within a few seconds. It's going to make you do it at a certain rate. So we'll do this in a smaller subset. So let's do exports, demo, and we're going to do messages sub.csv. So again, this is going to go in process, and it's already done because it didn't have to do that many. So now I have user follows, and if I look at this, what I did is, actually, none of these users happen to have any followers or following, but what that would do is go out and generate the number of followers and following for each one of those users. The last thing I'm going to show you is sentiment. Again, I decided to use an external process for doing sentiment. Again, you can have this sample. You will have to go get your own application key for the process that provides my sentiment analysis. But I'll go ahead and run this guy. And again, we're going to run this on our subset. So exports, demo, messages, sub.csv. And you can see as it processes these here. And the great thing now is if I go back to demo and look at my little sentiment file that it created, what we'll see is we get a sentiment score. And this is a scale between 1 and 10, so these were all kind of negative messages if I zoom in. And it's pretty detailed. This service provides a lot of detail around it. And again, you could plug in any service you want, but I thought this would be a neat way for me to look at my data here in just a moment. So that's ultimately, this is what I would call getting the export and massaging the export so that you get all the data that you need to pull into a model. So let's jump back over to our slides, and let's go to kind of the next part of our process. So our next process is we have our data. We need to start modeling it. So we need to pull it into something that we can start reporting against. And what we're going to use is the tools within Excel. So I'm going to use some of the self-service BI tools in Excel. There's two specific tools that I'm going to use. The first one is called Power Query. If you've been around for a while using these tools, it used to be called Data Explorer. What this is, I would call this the end user ETL tool. I don't know if anyone's ever built ETL things before with integration services. It's not the prettiest thing to do. It takes a lot of very specialized skill. This is really simple. We're going to go through and show you. I can go and pull data from all kinds of different data sources. I can cleanse it. I can tell you that we're going to have to cleanse it. There's cases where some of the data that we get exported may not be in the best form, and so we'll take a look at how we might be able to do that. What's also great about this tool is, remember how I said Yammer doesn't allow me to go grab a date range. It's only from a point in time to now. One of the great things of this tool is I can use it to ultimately union together like monthly exports if I wanted to, or weekly exports. So every week I could have a process that says I need to go get my exports, and then I can use this tool to easily go and concatenate those to my data, pull in that whole new week or whole new month, and it can, in case there was an overlap, I can have it remove all the duplicate rows just with one click of a button. So it's a really great tool to be able to use that. So again, Power Query is all about querying all these CSV files or Excel documents or APIs and pulling that into a model that I can use. What is that model? That model is going to be Power Pivot. Power Pivot's been around a lot longer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time necessarily talking about it, and this isn't a 300-level how to use Power Pivot, but it is where I'm going to do my modeling. And so when I get to this, I'm going to want to do things like set up my relationships, because I'm going to have all these separate CSV files, and I need to ultimately relate them to each other based upon some sort of key. And so that's what I'm going to do in here, is I'm going to relate them. I'm also going to create some calculated measures. So sentiment, by default, what Power Pivot does is everything is additive. Well, I don't want an additive sentiment. I want an average sentiment. So we're going to be able to do different things like that using Power Pivot. So a few tips on doing the import. So first of all, I highly recommend removing irrelevant columns. When you go and you import this data, if you see something like, let me think of an example, like an active column on if a user's active or not, if that's not important, go remove that column. All it's doing is bloating your data model and slowing it down. Another really good example is, do you really need body in your data model? If you've already done all the calculations you need to on body, like pulling out the follower or the mentions and sentiment and all that stuff, are you ever going to go down to the body detail of a message, or is it always going to be aggregated? Because I can tell you, that body takes up, I think, 2/3 of the file size. And when I did mine, it was about 2/3 the size of what my model was. So it really slows down and bloats your model when you put that much data in there, because there's some long messages that you could have. The other thing is remove duplicate rows. As I start removing columns, I could end up with non-unique rows. And when I do that, I want to collapse those down. So we want to try to delete or remove duplicate rows. We also want to filter out null or empty rows. You'd be surprised what will come back. When I did my first Yammer export, and I'm not sure if it's because of the way that it was processed for me, but I had, I think, like another 300,000 rows of just empty commas, if you looked at the CSV file. And so it really wasn't useful to me. So it's, I think, very important to filter those out. And then append and merge where appropriate. Well, that's more for the time-based thing if I wanted to do a monthly process. So let's talk about the post-exports. Once I've imported everything, I want to establish my relationships. I want to create the date mapping. So right now, all I have on my messages is a real date. So I need to be able to map that real date, which even includes a time, to that date dimension that I created. And so I showed you an example of a formula here that does that. And so hopefully that'll be helpful for you. This is another one that's really good for performance, is we want to denormalize lookup tables. So one of the things that I'll show you in my model is I have a users table, and then I have user demographics, which is my export from our HR system. And then I map them up based upon like an alias. Well, if I wanted to now report against one of those demographic fields, like cost center or employment area or location, because I have better geographic information over there, what happens is I end up having to join through two tables, and that's slow. So the better thing to do is denormalize it by actually pulling it in and referencing it. So what I do is I actually hide the user demographics table, and any of the columns that were important to me, I actually pulled them into the users table. So, and I'll show you what this looks like. That may have been confusing explaining, but it really helped me with performance. The other thing that I've found is it's important to provide rankings, because some of these dimensions are huge. So at Microsoft, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of Yammer users. And so if I'm slicing hundreds of thousands of users across hundreds of thousands or millions of messages, that's not the most performant thing in the world. No data warehouse does good when I have really big dimensions like that. So it's good to rank. That way I can say, show me the top 10 groups by sentiment score. And we'll look at that. And then finally, I would say hide confusing columns from an end user. An end user does not care about message ID. I need message ID in there because it keys off things, but when they go and they try to model with it, they don't care about what a message ID is. And so we want to hide those from an end user because it's just going to be confusing to them. So let's go and let's import and let's model. And then we get into the cool stuff where we actually start doing some visualizations. All right, so let me go into Excel. And I'm going to right off the bat go and start working with Power Query. Remember, that's going to be our tool for pulling in this data. So I'm going to go to the Power Query tab in Excel. Power Query for now is an additional add-in that you go and install into Excel, and it's basically a tab here that you can work with. What we're going to do is use a import from file, and we're going to use both Excel and CSVs here. I'll go ahead and start with date, since that's kind of the first one we created, and it's pretty easy. So we'll go ahead and just grab this date data. And as this pulls in this data, what we're going to want to do is do a few things. For the most part, this is going to be ready to go. But as soon as I bring this up, you're going to notice something that's off. Notice what row one is. Row one is actually the headers. So what's great is if you look up in the toolbar, I actually have an option to say use first row as headers. So really the only cleansing that we're going to do here is just make sure we mark that first row as headers. If you look here, along the side of Power Query is the applied steps. This is basically ordered queries that occur. So the first thing is pull in the source. Second thing is ignore the first row because it's headers. You're going to see how as we get into some more of the data files, we're going to be able to do more advanced things in here. But that's ultimately a process we're going to go through. The other thing is at the bottom, I have the option of, that's not what I wanted. At the bottom, I can either load it into my worksheet or I can load it into a data model. We want the data model because that's what's going to allow us to do kind of, you know, nice relationships and things. So we'll call this date. And then finally, we're going to go ahead and apply it and it'll pull into our model. And it'll show you over here as it pulls in these rows. I just pulled in the first 2 months of the year here. So I have 59 rows in that. All right, next let's go to some of the bigger data. So let's do maybe users. So I'm going to go out here and I have an all users file that I can pull in. You could see a lot more data here, and this is actual Microsoft employees, so I'm going to delete some of this relatively fast. But so I'm going to delete a few columns here. And remember I said that it's important to remove things that really aren't relevant. The only thing that was really relevant in here, because I'm going to pull in my demographic data from somewhere else, was the basically their name, their email address, which is I'm going to use to key later off of something else, and then the ID, because the ID is going to be what's referenced everywhere else in like messages and mentions and things like that. So you can see in applied steps, I removed some columns. A few other things I might do here is I'm going to maybe just do a quick sort by the ID. And I also maybe want to remove duplicate rows because I found that in some cases there are some duplicate rows. So, and I have just a quick button to do that. So I can just do remove duplicates. All right, let's go ahead and we'll call this users. Next, we'll turn our attention to groups. So I'll come up here and we'll do, again, we have a groups file. And groups are going to be similar. There's going to be some things in here I really don't care about a whole lot. So we're going to cleanse those out as well. So I don't need the description of the group. I know I only have public groups because I couldn't show you guys private groups. That would be bad. So I'll go ahead and delete these. And I don't really care who it was created by. And we'll just do that. And again, I might remove duplicate rows just in case. So we'll go ahead and apply and close this one. And then we'll do one last one and I'll move on. So we'll do this is groups. Okay, and so finally, I'll come out here. Actually let this finish processing. There we go. And now we'll do the big one, which is messages. So I'm going to go ahead and pull in messages here. There's going to be a lot of interesting things that I'm going to want to do on messages. So first of all, it has some detailed information around the group name. I don't need the group name. So again, I'm just going to delete a whole bunch of things here, including I'm going to delete the body of the message. I don't need that anymore, and it's a huge column. So I'm going to go ahead and delete that. Attachments might be interesting, so I'm going to hold on to that one. And let's see. Deleted. Okay, that I think that's good. And what I want to do is make sure there's no nulls in here, so we'll do descending. Actually, I should have done that the other way. We'll call this users, or no, messages. And we'll load it into our data model. So this was the import process. I'm not going to go through all of the different imports because they take a while to finish all of them. But ultimately, what this is doing, it's pulling it into Power Pivot already for me. By saying I want it in my model and not in my sheet, that's what it's doing. So let's move over to Power Pivot and let's look at how we can actually go further with this and create some modeling and do some interesting things. Actually, I am going to do one more. I want to do sentiment because I want to show, and that should be a quick one. So we'll just pull in sentiment here. And there's not a whole lot to sentiment. It's just the message and the sentiment value. So we'll call this sentiment. All right. Let these finish importing. Oh, I forgot to do one important thing here on messages. And it might be too late. You notice that it's saying 790. Actually, this will work. It's saying that I have almost 800,000 messages. I know that's not true because there's actually a bunch of nulls here. So what I want to do is let me do a remove duplicates here. And this should cut it down quite a bit. That's what I was telling you is my import file had some interesting things. And then just in case, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make sure my ID is not null. So you can see how I can do really nice filters. And what this is doing, it's just preventing me from pulling more data into my sheet than I need. So now I can say save and apply. And now we have all our data that we can actually model with. And so let that finish. There we go. So now I could go ahead and go into Power Pivot, and what we'll see is we have all of these tables that are already there. They're represented as basically tabs along the bottom, and what I can do now is set up some relationships. The great thing is we provide a nice user interface for doing that. So here's my user interface, and what I can start doing is creating relationships between those. So for instance, I know for message, and actually I'm going to close Power Pivot because it seemed not happy about that. There we go. So what I'm going to do for message is I'm going to map message to all the different things. So the sender ID is going to be a lookup against the user ID. So I can simply create a relationship that way. The same thing with group. The group ID is going to be coming from group. And the sentiment is a lookup in the other direction. So now I have all these relationships. And let's see, there's one more here. Oh, date. So we need to do an interesting thing in order to get our date column. Because there's really nothing in here to relate date to our message. So what we're going to do is actually add a column to our messages table. So we're going to call this date key. And this is, again, where we start. If you're an Excel formula person, you're going to be a lot better at this than I am. But ultimately what we can do is we can go and look at other columns. So I can do things like pull out maybe the year from the created date. So that's the created date of the message. And you can see what that'll do is go pull in that year. So if we look at our date field, we have this thing called a date ID. And the way it is viewed is it's the year and then the month and then the day. But it's in the day and the month are in two-digit format. That's really important because I can't just do a simple day on these things. So if I were to go back to messages, I can't just add I guess month, create a date, and then add day, create a date. Because what you'll see is it'll do a one-day month, and that's not going to match up correctly. So it ends up being more of a complex doing things by, I need to do an if statement. So if it is, the length is one, then I want to add a zero in front of it. And so that's what you saw in the slide deck. I actually had a reference to it. So you can reference that. I'm not going to waste your time typing that in here, but that's what I would do. The other thing that I can start doing is basically start pulling in some additional columns. I don't want that sentiment column as a separate column. It's really one-to-one with the messages. So what I can do is I can easily pull it in. So I'm actually going to hide both of these values. I can hide them from the client tools. And what I can do is instead, I can pull them into the actual message itself. So what I'm going to do is add another column here, and I'll call it sentiment. And what I'm going to do is simply say it's going to be equal to calculate. And I want to calculate the average of the sentiment value. And what that should do contains a syntax error. Oh, I need one more parenthesis. What that should do is go in and pull in the sentiment value. So now we've pulled that in. What's great is we can now create more of a summation total with that. So if I want to do a full sentiment score, I can, down here at the bottom of Power Pivot, you can create additional calculated measures that are fully aggregated. So that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something like sentiment score, and we're going to say that that's going to be equal to the average of sentiment. Not cinder. Sentiment. And so now if I expand this out, you can see the average sentiment of everything is right in the middle. It's at about 5.1 that you can see. Ah, nope, that's not the right zoom. It's about 5.19. So I can add all kinds of things in here. I could do a message count if I wanted to. So, you know, this is my chance to do all kinds of advanced calculated measures. So if I wanted to do message count, I can do simple things like just do count rows. I can just count rows of the messages table. So now I have a message count that I can work with. I could also do things like a thread count. So I have a thread ID in here. So if you wanted to do some interesting things with that as well, so I could do maybe a thread count. And we'll make this equal to, there's a distinct count, because we want to make sure we do it based on a distinct thing. And we'll do thread. So now you can see I have about almost 100,000 distinct threads. And then finally, I'll do one more here just for fun. We can see maybe the messages per thread. And we'll make that equal to message count divided by thread count. And so it's about 3.09. So again, really easy for me to use these. And now I can easily start using these inside of my model. There's one other thing that I might want to do, because there's a really great tool that helps me with this, is I have the ability of setting synonyms on certain things. So you know, notice that some of these fields are kind of cryptic. You know, if I zoom in here, like sender underscore type. Well, a user doesn't, now that's not very friendly for an end user. So what we can actually do is we can specify some synonyms. So if I come over here to advanced, I could change sender type to be like user type or something like that, something that an end user is going to be able to understand a little bit better. That's going to be great when we get into some of the BI tools that we're going to look at, where I can actually do some really nice kind of what I would call natural language query on it using Q&A. So let's jump back over to the slides, and we will look at the visualization side. So the rest of this is going to be all visual, really cool visual stuff. So let's talk about the different things that we have to visualize that model now that we've built this model. So the first thing that we have is something called Q&A. So hopefully you guys saw this in the keynote. Basically what this is I can just ask questions to my browser where I have this model uploaded. And it will give me different charts automatically based upon what I ask. So I could do things like, say, give me the average sentiment score over the last 6 weeks for the top 10 groups. And it'll just automatically give me what I ask for. It's very hard almost to ask these things a wrong question. If the relationships aren't set up right, it'll actually tell you, hey, I can't calculate this. So it's very intuitive in terms of an end user. And this is actually where I would see someone starting is, let's start here and ask some broad questions, and then maybe I dig down deeper into something more detailed. And what that more detailed thing might be is the next thing, which is Power View. So Power View is actually putting together a bunch of charts that maybe Power Q&A came up with. So this is more of a dashboard, whereas when I do Q&A, I get one chart at a time. That's very important. I'm only getting one thing at a time. If I want a real dashboard that looks at something, then Power View is going to be a much better tool for doing that. And then the last tool that we're going to look at with this is what we would call our Power Map. This was formerly known as GeoFlow. Anything that's has location-based information, which in my model, I was able to pull together some location information for all my users, we're going to be able to do some really, really neat visuals with this using that Power Maps tool. So with that, let us jump into a demonstration of these tools. All right, so we're going to go to our Contoso Petro site, where I have an SPC area that we're going to go in and take a look at. Now, this is using a Power BI app inside of Office 365. So this is using our extensibility model in SharePoint. We can provide these really great new applications. So Power BI is a new offering that you can use with this. And so we're going to go and jump into this Power BI app, and we're going to just ask some general questions. So when you first go here, there's a set of featured reports that might display on the main screen. So you can see I have some featured questions here. Or I can just go over to the top and start asking it some questions. So let's do that. Let's ask it a few. I'm going to start really broad with this model by maybe saying, show me message count. And you can see that's great. It gave me a statistic. It's not very visual. So let me do maybe message count by date. And when I do that, you can see that it starts to give me something interesting. What you're seeing here is these dips are weekends, right? So this is our message count over time, and I can see how things dip on the weekends. We have some activity, but it's certainly not what it is in during the normal week. I could take this further if I wanted to look at message count and maybe another thing with it. So let's look at message count and thread count by date. I can lay those on top of each other if I wanted to. I can even ask it for the type of chart that I want. So if I said, you know what, let's look at this as maybe a, let's do a stacked bar chart. There we go. So I can start just asking it for the type of things that I want. There are a lot of different visuals that this can display for us. So let me maybe do something different here. Let's do sentiment score, message count, and thread count by week. So in this case, it automatically says, okay, based on what you're asking for, we want to maybe show this to you in a different way. And so it's showing this to me based upon in a scatter diagram. And there's actually a lot of interesting things that are going on here. So in this case, the size of my circle is thread count. And then I can see that based upon the number of messages and the sentiment score. So if I look at this, the sixth week of the year happened to be the most messages and the highest sentiment. Sentiment was at about a 5.3, and we had about 50,000 messages. Does anyone know what Microsoft did around the sixth week of the year? We announced a new CEO. So that was activity related to that CEO announcement. So there's actually some really cool trends that we could see around that within this data, because it's real Yammer data for us. Another thing I might want to do is let's look at some of the more interesting user data. So let's look at show total followers by user. So I don't know Nicole, but she's pretty popular in here. Satya is our CEO. The Pulse is basically it's like HR corporate communications. Lisa Brummel is our HR coordinator, our HR director. Keelu, he's like the search guy. So you can see these are popular people in our company. And so this is kind of a neat way for me to look at things. If I want to start looking at this and maybe looking at it based on some additional data, I can do that. Let's look at this in another way. Let's look at maybe show average followers by location. Now, this isn't very valuable to me. I'm asking for something location-based. One of the things Q&A will do, if it knows you're doing something location-based, it will actually automatically do it as a map. Now, the reason it's not doing it as a map for me is because I'm looking at something that is very a large dimension. I have tons and tons of locations. So it's not easy for it to be able to put that in a map. In fact, if I ask it for a map, it's even going to warn me. It's going to say there are too many values for us to display this. The cool thing is I could come in here and I could actually filter this further. So I could come out and say, well, let's do it where the average followers is, you know, at least like, you know, a certain amount. So I can filter it down, but ultimately, I do want to point out that Q&A typically will show you the best visual based upon what you're asking. The only reason it's not showing a map here is because of the fact that I'm looking at a large dimension. So you notice that these are one visual at a time, right? I'm starting to get some value out of this, but it's one visual at a time. The next step that I might do is actually looking at this data as a whole. So let me go back to my actual site here, and let me look at the actual model that this was built against. So it's built against this workbook. Now, inside of here, I built some Power Views. Remember, I told you guys that Power View is a place for me to put together like a dashboard of my visuals. And that's actually what you're seeing here is I put together, here's top Yammer groups. What's cool is I can do some really cool things that I'd even show before, like if I wanted to look at how things trend over time, I can go do a play access. Watch this right here. I'm going to pause. Look at that CEO connections. It's at week 6. This was a Yammer group that we spun up right when we announced our new CEO. Now watch this. It's really popular at first, and then it's going to die down a little bit over time. So again, really cool that I can see things trend now and how and maybe relate that to things that happen within our organization. The other really cool thing about this is everything in this dashboard is connected together because our model is cohesive. So as I click on CEO connection, I want you to watch the map here, and I want you to watch the line chart there at the bottom. It's going to automatically adjust. It's going to everything is connected. I didn't have to do anything from an end user standpoint. I just picked the visuals I want, the data that I want, and it's going to show it to me in the best possible way. And again, I can do all kinds of different ways of viewing it. Here's more of like, again, I can look at things based upon maps. So this is top groups by location. I can look at different mentions. So our top mention is joined. I don't know if you've noticed in Yammer, when someone joins Yammer, it automatically does a post and says joined. So I've actually filtered that out because it's kind of noise to me. So at our organization, Yam is number one. Thanks, Steve. And then I can look at things that way. In terms of messages by user, you can see my statistics on the most popular, or at least the most active users. I can look at things like our daily message rate. You saw how I was able to get this same visual just by asking it questions in Q&A. And then maybe look at things like most followed individuals. So lots of cool things that I can get with Power BI and Power View. The next thing I want to show you guys really quickly in terms of visualizations is there were a few maps that I displayed for you, but really they were kind of flat, not all that, I would say, animated. And so I want to show you guys the third kind of visual tool that we have, which is something that we call Power Maps. So Power Maps, if I go over to my Insert tab, I have an option. I actually have two options because I'm running... Right now, it is a plugin, but in SP1, it's there automatically. So I have the plugin plus SP1, so I get two Power Maps. How about that? So let's go out here, and I'm going to launch Power Map. And what this is going to do, it's going to basically, you can think of Power Map as almost like a geographic data PowerPoint presentation. I create these things called tours. And I could create a number of tour or views within my tour. And ultimately, it's like PowerPoint in a lot of ways. So let's go ahead and create a tour here really quickly. Let me show you how incredibly simple this is. So this will go ahead and load up. And you can see how it's already kind of nice and animated. I can make things very 3D. Let's do something kind of over here in California. So I'm going to maybe pull in location. And that's what it's asking for first is geography. And then I'm going to maybe go and look at it by sentiment score. So let's pull in sentiment score. Where was that? It's in our messages. There we go, sentiment score. And I'm actually going to view it a different way. I'm going to view it as a heat map. So I'm going to zoom in here. Actually, and let me go ahead and say, I'm going to edit this one more time, and I'm going to change the radius. Let me do one other thing. I'm going to add date to it. So let's check this out. Now I can actually play and see how this changes over time. And I can start seeing, and what's cool is I can actually create an actual animated view of this. And I can actually stack layers. I can create more layers of these visualizations on top of each other. And what I can do is I can actually create a video of this for someone. So if I wanted to create a video here, I go ahead and create, and what it'll do is it will save exactly how I do that. So if I wanted to play the tour here, you can see that, and it'll actually show as I pan around the screen. So I can go and produce this and provide it for someone else. So anyway, that is Power Maps. So you can see, just with that little time that we did modeling things, we can start getting some really incredible visuals out of our data. Thank you. All right, so I want to go to the custom side of things now. And when I say custom, these are things that it's not something you have to build. You could build something if you want, but I want to talk about some things that are already out there for you. So first of all, I want to talk from a custom mining standpoint. Yammer is fantastic because its APIs are very comprehensive. There are anything that you'd want to get out of Yammer, for the most part, there are APIs that you can go against. And they are based on standard ways of getting data. So it's going to be things like REST OData type of ways of getting to your data. So it also uses an OAuth standard. So your organization can go get, I'm not going to get too geeky here, but you can get an access token that can allow you to go and get data and pull it and view it the way that you want. There's also a social graph that kind of takes everything to an entire new level where I can have all my applications sending their activity into Yammer. And then I have whole new ways of slicing and dicing and viewing the way people use applications in our organization. Yammer also has a global app directory. So you can actually go out and look in the app directory, and lots of these samples that I'm going to show you might be out there for you to be able to pull down and start using. So the app directory is a great place. And what's cool is you, as your organization, you could create private apps or even more global apps that other people can consume. So if you're an ISV in the room and you want to build something that plugs into Yammer, we would love for you to do that. I want to say one caveat is Yammer does throttle their APIs. So you can't just go and bombard it. That's why I didn't go and generate following information for everyone as I walked through some of my samples. So I'm going to show you guys two apps that are really cool. They're kind of end-user focused apps that I think both of these are kind of inspired by LinkedIn, some things that I'd seen on LinkedIn. So one on LinkedIn is, it's really interesting when I meet someone and I go find them on LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, wait, you know my colleague over here? How do y'all know each other? And I thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to be able to do the same thing inside of Yammer. And the other one, so that's what this first one we're going to look at here. It's called Social Nucleus, and I'll show that to you here in a second. The second one is LinkedIn a few years ago did this experiment called LinkedIn Maps. And it was really neat. It basically showed a map of your social network, and it did cluster analysis on that. And so we're going to look at another app that I did called Yammosphere. Both of these are free. They're out on the internet that you can go and play with. Let's take a look at these applications. So let's go to Nucleus first. So it's nucleus.azurewebsites.net, And what this does is, and you're seeing some messages up here at the top. It says, wow, you have a lot of followers and you follow a lot of people. This is the throttling. We're not just going to pull down all of your followers. I might have like 1,000 quite possibly. Actually, I'm not that popular, but I could have a lot of people and that could take time, but I can load more here. But what this does is it shows my nucleus, my connections within Yammer. And what's cool is it's very kind of Web 2.0. I hate that term, but it is very interactive. It's all HTML5. And I can start navigating through the organization. So I see Mark Cashman here. I could go click on Mark, and I could see who he's connected to. But the more interesting thing is I can even do searches for people. So, for instance, Arpan Shaw did one of the keynotes. I could go search for Arpan. I could follow him, or I could find him and follow him directly from here. And I could see who he's connected with. So it's a neat way to basically traverse and go around and viewing things in the organization. So anyway, this is one that I think is interesting for an end user. It also can help identify people that aren't all that connected, and maybe you can encourage them and get them more engaged in the enterprise. Next one I'm going to go to is Yammosphere. Yammosphere is built on a number of different APIs that were that I found interesting. And what this does is it's going to generate, it takes a while to generate these. If you have a lot of followers, it can take 3 to 5 minutes. So when I go in here, it's going to say, you already have one. Do you want to just go with that, or do you want to generate a new one? I'm not going to waste your time by generating a new one. I'm going to go and use my existing one. Let me show you what this does. This does cluster analysis on all your connections. So if I zoom in here, you can see all the different connections that are going on. I see Christoph. And you notice that it's color-coded. What that color coding is that is invisible groupings that you have. Those are cliques almost within the organization. So if I wanted to go and look at maybe the red group here, if I look down in this, most of these people have an MCS connection, Microsoft Consulting Services. So that's kind of what this grouping is. It's mainly MCS type of people. If I were to do purple, actually I did a green on accident. Let me do purple here. These are product group guys. I see a lot of people from the product group that are within this. And then finally, if I go to the light blue, which might be hard to see up there, these are people from my district. I'm from Dallas, and these are people from the Gulf Coast area. The interesting thing, if you notice that the light blue is a little bit further away than the red and the purple. That's because that group of individuals, my community within my own district back in Dallas and Houston, they're a little bit further removed from the product group and MCS folks. And so, again, it's interesting to be able to view some of this. The other thing that you notice is I have a bunch of like single nodes around the perimeter of this. Those represent some weak connections, so I can go and help get those people more engaged and be able to do more with. I thought I'd show you one other really interesting one, since I mentioned his name. Christoph, he's kind of our social czar within the product marketing area. He has a very busy Yammosphere. In fact, if I zoom in here, you will be amazed at the actually, let me close this. You would be look at the detail that's in this. He is so tightly connected. All of those lines represent connections between his connections. So it's really neat to come in here and see how well connected he is and how well concentrated things are in the middle. Now, he has some people on the outskirts as well. Those might be people that are following him he's never even met before, but I think it's an interesting thing to view it that way. Okay, so that's some of the apps. Again, those are both out there. I have links to them at the bottom, at the tail end of the presentation, but those are a few examples of some of the ways that I might extend our social platform and get new insights out of. The other thing that Yammer has that I think is just a killer feature is it has a real-time API. So this is based, I'm not going to geek out on you, but it has an API that's built on what we call the Bayou protocol. What this means is I can go call into Yammer with a long timeout. I can say, I'll wait 30 seconds for you to give me some messages. And at any given time, Yammer can respond with real-time messages. At the very least, what it will do at the end of the 30 seconds, it'll go and say, we didn't have anything. Nothing actually popped up. And so in that way, I can immediately go and request more. So there's some really cool use cases for this. This is where I was thinking of, you know, the presidential elections when they were doing debates and things were flying around on the screen. And so I'm going to do a demonstration that I need your help with here. So I need you guys to go out to the SharePoint, the SharePoint conference network on Yammer. And I have giveaways for this. So let me show you my giveaways here really quickly. I have a awesome exclusive SharePoint working on it t-shirt for those that are first to post on this little demonstration that we're going to try. So what I did is I put together a new product announcement that we announced this week. We announced content apps for PowerPoint. What that means is I can embed an app in my PowerPoint presentation really easily. Well, I said, you know what, it'd be cool for me to embed an app that was like live social feed with Yammer. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go and jump forward a slide. And I'm going to start our feed here. And what I want you to do is go out and at mention SPC3991 on the SharePoint Yammer network. We'll see who's first to do it here. And hopefully this won't, my demo will work on me. What this is doing, it's using that real-time protocol to be able to post. It looks like someone got some. All right, so Steve and Colleen. And you notice it's doing some sentiment analysis on this along the way. So cool stuff, right? We can actually do some really neat live things. So imagine this in like a town hall type of scenario. We can do some really cool things where people can provide feedback. We can almost use it for like a Q&A type of thing while we're within an actual presentation here. So I appreciate all the messages. I'll try to get some of those first few people that posted in. So that's kind of coming to the end what I wanted to do from custom. I didn't want to jump into code. I really wanted to show you guys just pick your, I would say, your curiosity and different things that we might be able to do with some of these technologies, both with things that are more canned out of the box, with something like PowerView, Power Pivot, the whole Power BI stack, but then also that there are some additional really cool things that we can do using apps that connect into those Yammer APIs. I'm hoping to make this app, the content app in PowerPoint, available through the Office Store for free. I've made all my stuff free. I'm more about helping the community than I am making a few cents. So with that, let's go ahead and jump forward. Talk a little bit about session resources. All of the export samples, all of those little command lines that I created are available on my OneDrive site that you can download. So you can download all the code. Again, I know this is an IT pro session. I might have some developers, doesn't matter. It's done. All you have to do is go and point to those standard exports, and you can generate all of this stuff on your own. You could go the two apps that I showed you, Social Nucleus and Yammosphere. Highly encourage you guys to go play with those. I've had a lot of fun building those and getting feedback from different users, so I would love feedback from you guys on that. From a social session standpoint, there's so many great sessions that have been going on already this week, going forward as well. I will point out one, which is the very bottom one here, the Measuring Business Value with Yammer. Again, that's with Chris and Danielle from the Enterprise Social COE team. They're they're going to take another spin on almost this exact topic, but they're going to talk more around building the business, kind of the business value and the strategy around actually doing some of these things in Yammer. And some of the scenarios that they've thought through, it blows my mind. I wish I had more time to work with them to help make some of those come to life. Lots of resources available to you from an enterprise social standpoint. And with that, if you have questions, I'm happy to take those. There are some microphones, or you can yell it out, and I'll try to repeat it. Also, I would say, please do your evaluations. I was hoping to spark some creativity here, and if you felt like I was able to achieve that, I would love for you to go do evals. If I didn't, then yeah, you can skip it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Any questions? Any plugins to HD Insight? There's no. So one of the things I will tell you this. Actually, I have one more thing to tell you. In the downloads, I'm not giving out that the real time feed in PowerPoint because I'm going to try to put that in the store for people to get for free. But I did give you guys a console application to do real time ETL if you wanted to. That actually will write in real time to a CSV file. So you could easily, I think, the question was, is there any plugins like HD Insight or something like that with this? More out of the box. You could use that console application that basically does all that and easily maybe write that to HD Insight to start using some of the big data from that standpoint. Absolutely. Other questions? Yes. Well, most of this is working against Yammer, which we don't really do. We don't have an on-premise version of Yammer. But you could run all this on-prem. I mean, I'm running it on my laptop, so... you don't have to run it like in Azure. It can run certainly all those consoles and things you can run. And that's the great thing about what they've done with Yammer's APIs is you can easily connect to them and from really anywhere. Good question. Anything else? Awesome. Well, guys, if you were one of the first four, I'll say first four. I know I saw Colleen that was one of the first four and a few others. Come up, and I have a T-shirt for you. I can double-check it, but feel free to come up, and I'll give you a T-shirt. Thank you so much. Enjoy your conference.